God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory.
Father God, we love you and we thank you. And if everyone will just tell someone a praise about you. And Father, we praise you just for who you are and just for what you've done and just for your sovereignty. And we just thank you for, we do thank you for the rain that you have brought us, Father. And we do pray for all of those adversely affected by the tremendous power in the storms that came through. So, Father, we do love you today, and we sing praises to you, and we welcome all that care to hear your voice to join us in praise. Father, we love you, and we thank you. It's your son's name we pray. Amen. Oh, I'm on. Yeah. So we're going to go to just a closer walk with thee. The sermon today is going to take us and talk about Joseph. And Joseph's got a lot to talk about, and Joseph did resist some temptation, and I think we need to do a lot of temptation resisting ourselves, and to do so, we just need to be closer with the Lord. So just a closer walk with thee. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
From Psalm 119:18, it says, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. If we open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to Jesus, he will bless us and receive us.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false shall disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
You know what? That was going to be our communion hymn, so I didn't announce that. Men, please come forward for communion.
Morning. So yesterday, Worth County had their, I say it is elementary, but it's also pre-K, and all the preschoolers were there as well, and it was a good time. And One thing that I observed is a lot of encouragement. Dean is 3, and he competed yesterday, and he just acted like he had the best time of his life. He would, and it's not necessarily that he was doing well or doing what he was supposed to at times. But he was having fun. And so Dean's last event was the 50-meter dash. So everybody was getting lined up. Everybody was there looking, watching, cheering everyone on. And Dean's sitting here just running around in circles in his lane, getting ready to go. I'm like, you got to save your energy, bud. And he just didn't care. He was just ready to go. And so they shot the gun off, and everybody takes off running, and Dean gets probably 2/3 of the way there and falls down. And I'm like, oh. And it, within a split second, he hops right back up and keeps running. And to sit there and realize that, you know, there had been kids that just laid there and just given up. But Dean was trying to finish the race. So the word encouragement continues to weigh on my heart today. And so we're going to go to Psalms 18. And I think another word that kind of goes hand in hand with encouragement or being encouraged is faith. In Psalms 18, David writes, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise that I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. Cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire. Fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the throne room and flew and soared on the wings of the wind. I know there's a lot going on in our world right now where it can be pretty discouraging. However, I think through our faith, through our asking of Lord to help us, he can encourage us as well. David did some pretty bad things. He lived a pretty good and bad life. However, he had faith in the Lord to help deliver him from those things. So whether it's David in the biblical times or a 3-year-old running a race and falling down, I hope that you can encourage one another and find encouragement from the Lord. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for everything you bless us with, Lord. And in a time now more than ever, we need to be encouraged to follow you and trust in you, because your way is the only way. We love you, Lord. In your son's name, amen. Thank you.
I think that's cranking. There you go. A little hot yet, a little hot. Turn it down. Didn't realize we were running out of bulletins this morning. As we finish up passing the offering plate, I want to share with you a couple things that I learned in the past few days. I'll take that for now. Thanks. Actually, I'll take these. And I'll give it back to you. I just got news before church started that the Ravenwood Christian Church got struck by lightning last night. And it took a good chunk of the steeple out. And so be praying for those folks. As they're still having church today, so be praying for them as they can contemplate what's going to be going to happen next for them. Friday night, the wool shop and Larry Kimball's house got hit. And so some folks went over there Friday night and helped those folks over there. I also learned the next day that a couple of Iowa towns got hit pretty tough. Who has a report on that? What's the name of the towns? Elk? What, Rick? Tink? They're south of Reading. Is their house gone, not livable in? And who's that again? Yeah, Berkeley Davidson, yeah. The town he lives in?
That's Minden.
Minden. I've heard Minden is gone. So, anyway, we pause in the middle of our service to pray and to do those things. So I don't know if you have a chance to pray for these folks, but I encourage you to do so. And we're going to pause and do that right now and just spend a little time in prayer. And I mentioned to you at the front end of the sermon time that we have some prayer opportunities for you inside the bulletin, okay? This you have your May prayer guide. Wow, I can't speak today. Your May prayer guide. So every day you have an opportunity to pray for something. If you want, if you didn't get a chance at the bulletin today, I'll make more after church. Just see me, and I'll give you some more if you want one. Also, the National Day of Prayer is Thursday, and I want to encourage you to go through this sheet right here on the National Day of Prayer, okay? Just spend some time in prayer throughout the day. It's only 7 points to pray on. I'm sure you can handle it. And so just take some time, if you don't mind, to pray. Pray for the people today that are having struggle and challenge. I look at this scripture right here out of Psalm 18. You know, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. There are some people really shook right now because of what they've been through this past week. And so I just want to encourage you just to spend some time in prayer right now for some people in our world and our country around us. God, we give you praise for being kind to us. And Lord, today there's people who don't have a house. They have their life, but they don't have a house. They don't have what they're used to when they went to bed not so many nights ago. And so, God, it's challenging for those people. And so if there's any way that we can help, please let that be known to us. But moreover, Lord, we just want your presence with the people who have had loss, just loss. So thank you, Jesus, for watching over us, for being our rock. When we can count on nothing else, we can certainly count on you. We love you, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen. Hey, if you got your Bibles, go to Genesis 39. It's an easy book to find. It's the first book of the Bible. I know you can get there. Genesis 39. There's a Bible probably in your pew around you. If you can't find it there, you can probably take your neighbor's. He won't mind. Just give it back to him when the sermon's over. Genesis 39. I want to ask you a quick question as we start out of the gates. What do you do, or how do you respond? Well, those are two good questions. How do you respond, or what do you do when you think you're treated unfairly? Unfairly. By the way, how many people here have thought they've been treated unfairly? Well, probably 100% of us, right? Yeah, I bet that's true. It's easy to see that even in our world right now, that the nation, there seems like there are many things that are unfair. I want to see if you agree with this thought. There's a question here. What's the most unfair thing about American politics? The answer is we get 50 choices for Miss America, only 2 for the President of America. That's not fair, right? Oh, well, some people think that work is unfair. Do you get tired of work? Work is unfair? Well, say, what's unfair about work? Well, I've heard there's 3 things unfair about work. Number 1, you got to wake up. Number 2, people. And number 3, it's work. It's unfair, right? And they say the hardest kind of tea to swallow is reality. And so reality is life is what? Life is unfair. It's exactly unfair. And there's got to be some way that you and I got to tackle life even though it seems unfair. Matter of fact, sometimes life not only seems unfair, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right. And sometimes when we think about the unfairness of life, the things aren't right, we think, well, maybe I should see a counselor. And I'm reminded of a counselor. I'm reminded of a counselor who has seen a depressed dog. A counselor has seen a depressed dog, and this is a statement she made to the dog. Life is rough. Oh, my. You only got a little bit longer, I promise. Seriously, life is rough. It is. Life is rough. Life is unfair, and I'm assuming if you're in church today, you have some concept that you want to follow God. Is that true? Okay. If you want to follow God, then you think God has a way for you to handle unfair treatment. Yes, I think he does. And I'm almost certain of this, that you and I have handled unfair treatment ungodly-like. I'm sure we've done that. I've done that, okay? And so nowhere in Scripture do I ever hear God saying, everything's going to be great once you follow me. Don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Don't see anywhere in Scripture that life is going to be fair. And there's a reason at the end of Matthew 28, and by the way, you're going to hear Matthew 28 next week when Derek's going to be preaching next week with you. But Jesus has been given how much authority? All authority. It says that in Matthew 28 in the Great Commission. And at the end of that text, he says, lo, I'll be with you always. How long? Till the end of the age. He'll be with you. And I think there's a reason, because there's a reason that when we see life's unfair, that God's presence is enough. God's presence is enough, okay? Can you say that with me? God's presence is enough. It is. And so when we look at Joseph today, and how Joseph was treated unfairly for 13 years of his life, 13 years of his life. I have a confession to you. I have a problem being treated unfairly for 13 seconds, let alone 13 years. And Joseph is that guy. And so here, friends, I want to share with you something. I believe God gives us stories like Joseph's so we can respond as God followers must respond when treated unfairly. It's going to happen. It's not if, it's when. It's when it's going to happen, okay? So if you got your sermon outline today and your bulletin, if you got a bulletin, and if you want one after church, I'll get one for you, okay? So the first point in our bulletin is this. Being unfairly treated is about the Lord being seen, not you, okay? Being unfairly treated is about the Lord being seen, not you. Look in Genesis 39. Genesis 39, okay? Now, I have to admit, when I hear Dean crying, don't you wish sometimes you could throw a fit and someone could carry you out? I mean, don't you? At work, maybe? Okay, Genesis 39, 1 through 4. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Now remember, if you haven't read the story about Joseph, what had happened to him before this? What did his brothers do to him? They sold him as a slave. Brothers got sick of him, sold him as a slave, treated him unfairly, and they sold him. Okay, so now he's a slave, and now he's been sold to Egypt, to a guy named Potiphar, an Egyptian who's one of Pharaoh's officials. The captain of the guard bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he was So he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord gave him success, and how much? Everything he did. Joseph found what? Favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care how much that he owned? Everything that he owned. Okay? Now, is it possible that you can be narcissistic when you're treated unfairly? You say, what does narcissistic mean? That's a kind of a tough word on a Sunday morning this early. Well, narcissistic comes from a Greek mythology. And there's a guy named Narcissus, okay? And he got a spell put on. This is Greek mythology. It's not true. But he fell in love with his own reflection. So he became by a stream one day, saw his own reflection, fell so deeply in love with his reflection in that spring that he refused to move from that spot, and he eventually died. He was so enamored with himself, he didn't get up to go get a drink of water, didn't get up to eat, and unable to pull himself away from that moment of being so in love with himself, he didn't sustain himself, and he died right there in the spot. So what does being narcissistic mean? Being narcissistic means that you are a person who has an excessive interest or admiration of yourself. Oh, I'm not going to show the hands on that one, okay? So, quick question for you. It's a quiz about narcissism. Here we go. How many narcissists does it take to change a light bulb? It takes just one because all the world revolves around him. Just one. And so, in other words, if you're a narcissistic person, guess who's the main character? You. You're the main character. Everywhere you go, who's the main character? You, because you're a narcissistic person, okay? And I wish I could say it was different. I wish I could say it would be different down the road. But I know there have been times in my past, there's going to be times coming where I think I need to be the main character of the conversation I'm in. Even the story, even whatever I am, I think I got to be the main character. And sometimes I want to be the main character in people's minds. That's narcissism. And I'm guilty of it. I know you are too, because we've all been there. So how do we overcome being narcissistic when it comes to unfair treatment? Well, how did Joseph do it? How did Joseph prevent himself from being bitter and narcissistic about his unfair treatment? He was treated unfairly. Because if you jump ahead in Genesis 40, verse 5, 15, we're going to get this in 2 weeks, he says this, I have done nothing to deserve being put in prison. And by the time we get to Genesis 40, he's going to be in prison. Unfair treatment, one thing after another. He said, I didn't deserve this. And that he recognizes he has unfair treatment. So what happened? How did he keep from becoming a bitter person? And so when you're treated unfairly, you must remember that whatever situation you are in that situation so that God can be seen. So that God can be seen, okay? Look in Genesis 39, verse 3, okay? When his master saw that the who? The Lord, okay? And he saw that the Lord gave him success and how much? Everything, okay? This tells me something about Joseph. And Joseph, in some way, shape, or form, he was in a place he didn't want to be, didn't want to have any inclination of being there, was unjustly put there, unkindly treated, but yet in some way, shape, form, and fashion was making known to who was giving him success. The Lord was giving him success. That's what he was doing, okay? Does this mean God will put you in an unfair moment? It could, or it could not be. It could be just the way life is. God could do that, it could not do. But the point is, if you're in an unfair moment, who's the main character? God is. Not us, it's God. God's the main character, okay? God must be the main character of your unfair, undeserved treatment. God must be the main character. He must be, okay? So if you want to get through a moment or a season of unfair treatment, and it is a season. I like the word season because a season has a beginning. A season also has a what? An end, all right? So if you want to get through a moment or a season of unfair treatment, you must let our Lord be the main character of that unfair treatment. You got to let him do that, all right? And so how do we know that? Well, in Romans 14, 7 through 9, look at what the Bible says. Let's read this together, okay? For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Let's read the underline together, okay? Whether we live or die, we are the Lord. So no matter what situation I'm in, who am I? I am the Lord's. Okay? That means even in unfair treatment, I can do what? Still make the Lord who? The main character. I can still do that, okay? So in this text, I don't hear Joseph complaining and being forced into slavery. I don't hear Joseph bemoaning that he was kidnapped by his brothers. I don't hear Joseph crying out that he's a victim. I don't hear Joseph stuck in his mindset that he's getting unfair, undeserved treatment. Would he have a right to do all those things I just said? Oh, it would seem so. It seemed like he'd have that right, okay? So what I do see is this, is Joseph doing a good job in a place he did not want to be, even trying to be a blessing to the man who owns him as a slave, okay? So think about this. How does a teenage boy, he's a teenager at this point, he's 18 years old probably, somewhere around there, 18 years old, how does a teenage boy find himself in a position like Joseph and hope to exist, okay? I think he's already learned this right here. Joseph at this age has already learned that he's not living for himself. Who's he living for? He's living for the Lord, okay? That's who he's living for, all right? So here's what you got to do, kids. Look, when you come to church, you've got to have some practical application. This is what I'm learning. How do I put it in place? That's how you're going to do it, okay? So how do you want to get over unfair treatment? And by the way, it's going to happen, maybe even today, all right? Let's read this prayer together. Lord, I am tempted to make me the main character in this moment. Thank you for placing me where I am so that people can see you, not me. That's one way to get over unfair treatment. Because the situation is not about you. Who's it about? It's about the Lord, all right? Look at the next thing in your bulletin outline. Here it is. Being unfairly treated is about the Lord blessing those around you, okay? Being unfairly treated is about the Lord blessing those around you. Look in 5. And the first part of verse 6. From the time he put him in charge of his household, this is Joseph in charge of Potiphar's household, and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of who? Because of Joseph, okay? The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left how much in Joseph's care? Everything. Joseph was in charge of everything, and he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Potiphar loved this guy, Joseph. He's a great guy. There was a guy who was at a therapist, and he was talking about how he came back from his counselor, his therapist, and the therapist did this. He says, the therapist set a half glass of water in front of me, and the therapist asked me, he says, are you an optimist or a pessimist? And says, so I reached over and drank the whole glass. He says, I'm a problem solver. How many of us are problem solvers, you think? If you're Joseph in your situation, how would you solve the problem? Would you be complaining and moaning and groaning about your predicament? Would you? Would you say, I've got to find some way to escape this moment because I'm being unjustly treated? Or would you find yourself playing the victim role and you're crying out about victimology and how you don't like it and the rest of your time on earth you're just complaining about your ill placement in life, and you walk around with an attitude of doom and gloom because now you're a person who has been unfairly treated? Would you be bitter and defiant, angry at the world because of your predicament? And guess who you take it out on when you act that way? Everybody around you. Everybody around knows your predicament. So what would you do? Well, here's what Joseph decided. You just read it. Joseph decided to be a what to his master? A blessing. He decided to be a blessing, okay? If you're a student in school, what can you be to your teachers? A blessing. If you get arrested today, heaven forbid, I had a Trooper Modlin call me this week, and he says, hey, Trooper Modlin, what's going on? I said, are you going to arrest me? Well, not yet. If you get arrested, what can you do? Be a blessing. Joseph was that kind of guy. And so here's something to think about. 1,300 years from this moment in Joseph's life, the Jewish people would be captive again by another country called Babylon. And I want you to listen to what God told these people, because they've been forcibly kidnapped and taken to a foreign land. Okay? They've been taken to a foreign land. Look what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29. Okay? Now I'm going to read part of it, and then when we get this part, I'll have you read with me. Okay? This is what God told these people, forcibly kidnapped, ill-treated, captive slaves, okay? I'll tell you when we get to this part here. God told these people while they're captive, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, Marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. And it says also, read it with me, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because of it prospers, you too will prosper. And so as I look at that text, once again, I'm starting to understand something about God. When someone's unfairly and undeservedly treated, do I play the victim? Do I? What are they doing here? I'm seeking the Lord. I'm praying for the prosperity of that place. Now think about this. What happens to a place of unfair treatment when you start to treat that place with prayer to the Lord? What happens to that place? That place becomes a place of prayer. It also becomes a place of what? Peace and prosperity. Even in your place of unfair treatment, you can solicit the Lord in prayer, and that place of unfair treatment becomes a place of prayer, becomes a place of peace, becomes a place of prosperity. And according to Genesis, what did Joseph do? He did all those things. And the place where he's owned becomes a place that is blessed, because Joseph said, I'm going to pray and accept the type that I've been given. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. Look, God is the main character wherever you are, whenever you are. God's the main character. You've got to make him the main character, okay? So here it is, kids. Listen, if you want to get through unfair treatment, let's say this prayer together. Lord, I am tempted to make this place of unfair treatment about me. Please bless the people around me to see you, not me. Can you imagine how that changes things when you start praying things like that? The third thing I say is this. Being unfairly treated reveals your heart condition. Being unfairly treated reveals your heart condition. Look in verse 6. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. Kind of reminds me of Alex today. Got his tux on. Well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. He says, with me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went to the house to attend to his duties. None of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. This is verse 13. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and run out of the house, she called her husband and servants. Look, she said to him, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. This is now verse 16. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Can you imagine a scene? He comes in the house. He's wearing this jacket. She rips it off him. He's fleeing. And she stays in that one spot, crying and playing the so-called victim the entire day till the husband comes home from work. There's a song out there called Drama Queen. This gal's got it. She's got it, okay? All right. He told him the story that we just read. Verse 19, when his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Notice it didn't say who his anger burned towards. Verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. I'm kind of picking on counselors and therapists today as a man in counseling. There's a man in counseling, and he said to his counselor this, he said, you told me to write letters to the people that I hate and burn them later. I did that, but now what do I do with the letters? What goes through your mind when you have people treat you unfairly? What do you think of those people? I think that's an honest answer. Sometimes we think about revenge, okay? What do you do with the people in your mind and heart when you've been treated unfairly by those people? Someone once asked this question, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? I don't know and I don't care. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're a God follower, You both need to know and care about what is going on inside you when you have been treated unfairly. You need to know what's going on inside you, okay? Does God want you to know what's going on inside you when you're being treated unfairly and care about it? Sure he does. That's why we got stories like Joseph, okay? There's a fascinating verse. It's in Psalm 139. If you're brave enough to pray this prayer, I think it's amazing and what can happen, all right? Let's read this verse together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. Do you see the underline up there? Let's read that together. Try me. How many times would you rather have from God a nice little note that says, hey, this is what you need to work on? Or would you prefer a trying event in your life? Which would you prefer? Yeah, the note. Yeah, the note. Do we like trials? That's what David's praying for in this psalm. He's praying for a trial. I want you to put me in trial. I want you to put me in a trial situation, okay? And I think this is sometimes what happens to you and I. We don't want to find out about our character flaws. By the way, how many people have character flaws in this room? Every single one of us. We all have character flaws. Every one of us, okay? A character flaw is an undesirable, an undeniable quality that you or others notice that is harmful to you and even those around you. It's undeniable, and it's apparent, and you know it yourself. And so how many of us have character flaws then? We all do. We all have character flaws, okay? Now, I want you to notice what happened to Joseph when he became a slave in Potiphar's household. What it tells us about Joseph. First off, he's well-built and what? Okay, he's a hottie. Okay, he's a hottie. All right, this kid's a good-looking kid. 18-year-old, he's a hottie, okay? All right, he was in charge of how much? Everything. He's an older teenage boy. Guess what he has, an older teenage boy? That's well-built and handsome. He has desires, okay? Now, what could his temptations then reveal about his character flaws? Well, think about this. What were his temptations not too long ago with his brothers in Genesis 37? He was a prideful kid. He had a big kid. He had pride. And I'm thinking, how many of us have a problem with pride? Okay? If you didn't raise your hand, you got a problem with pride. All right? This means that a common character flaw for every person that right now has a problem with pride. We all have it. Joseph has a history of pride. He was sold into slavery. Now, in his time of slavery, he is literally in charge of an entire household. And what do you think could rear its ugly head in Joseph's current state? Pride. Pride. It could be right there, pride, okay? Is it possible that God will let you be tempted? Oh, let's think about that for a moment. In Psalm 139, David asked the Lord to try him, okay? Now, does that mean he simply wants a word from God, or is he wanting an experience that reveals his character flaws? Come on, kids, just be brave. He wants you to have a trying experience to reveal your what? Your flaws. All right, and by the way, how many of us have flaws again? We all do, okay? Now, think about this. When you recognize in yourself that you have a character flaws that need to be rooted out, you will learn to ask for and accept anything that comes your way to get rid of sinful character flaws. I'm going to say that again. When you recognize in yourself that you have character flaws that need to be rooted out, I don't like that part about me, you will learn to ask for and accept anything that comes your way to get rid of that sinful character flaw. You're going to ask for it. And so look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. All right? Let's read this together. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you'll be able to endure it. Now look at that text. Let's break down this point from Joseph's perspective, okay? All right? No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. How common is Joseph's temptations at this point? Can everybody relate to Joseph's temptations? I can. Sure, okay. All right? God is faithful, right? But who isn't faithful? People. People aren't faithful. All right? We can see that by Potiphar's wife. She's not faithful to be tempted by Joseph. All right? He will not lie to be tempted beyond what you are able. All right? So was Joseph given a way of escape? Yep. What'd he do? He ran out of the house. I should have kept his coat, doggone it, but he ran out of the house. Okay, he ran out of the house. He says, but with the temptation, you'll be able to have a way of escape, all right? But listen to this. It says also that God wants you to be able to do what? Endure it. How often was Potiphar's wife coming after Joseph? What'd the Bible say? Day after day. That means Joseph was enduring temptation. How often? Day after day. Now, how come God would want you to endure temptation? Now, first off, let's think about something. Is enduring temptation different than giving in to temptation? Yes. It's not wrong to be tempted. It is wrong to give in to it. Is it wrong to endure temptation? No, because the Bible says it right there. God puts me in places that I can endure temptation. So in this situation, Joseph was enduring the temptation of who? Potiphar's wife. He was enduring that day after day, okay? Did Joseph endure the temptation or give in to it? He endured it, okay? He endured the temptation. Never gave in to temptation. How come this is significant? Well, this is significant, all right? How easy do you think it had been for Joseph to give in to the temptation? Oh, pretty easy, yeah. Think about that, okay? Now, there's a subtle storyline here that we kind of miss, and it'd be easiest for you. We live in a country right now where everybody has to be a victim, okay? I shouldn't say everybody. That's a predominant mindset. Everybody is a victim, okay? And that's a prideful mentality, to have a victim mentality. Now, what if Joseph would have developed the prideful mentality of victimology? What if he would have developed that, okay? So in other words, when you're a victim, you get stuck on yourself, you got undeserved treatment, and now you're a victim, and God and the whole entire world, what? Owes you. You're owed. God owes me. Everybody owes me. Okay? So as a victim-minded person, Joseph would have done this. I am well-built and handsome. What would be the next line? I have desires, and this woman wants to give me her. I'll take care of that. I'm owed that, but this woman wants to give me. As a victim-minded person, Joseph could have said, I've done such a good job in this house could not survive without me. If I get this woman, I've got everything because it's owed to me because this house deserves me. He could have said this, I'm here because this good job I've done, and if I get this woman, how much will I get? Everything. My master owes me because the house wouldn't run without me. But instead, what did Joseph choose to do? Listen, he chose to suffer the daily grind of temptation. It's a daily grind of temptation. He chose to suffer that. The daily grind of temptation. That's what he chose to do. Now, how come that's significant? Well, look, it's a wonderful passage in Romans 5. Okay, in Romans 5. Now, I realize there's a lot there. Let's read it together. You'll find out what enduring means. All right? Not only so, read it together. But we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. If you stop enduring any type of suffering, and I think temptation can be a type of enduring suffering, if you refuse to endure temptation, guess what you're missing out on? Character. You know those character flaws you don't like about yourself? You keep giving in to temptation, guess what you're doing? You're keeping your character flaws around. Once you develop character because you're enduring temptation, not giving in to temptation, well, then what happens next? You ever been around somebody who has no hope? Yes, I can't stand them. Okay, the reason is because they're giving in to everything in life, they're not developing their character, and they have no hope. The reason they have no hope is because what happens next? They're not put to shame because they're enduring temptation. What happens next? They experience what? God's love. If you're unwilling to endure suffering, if you're unwilling to endure even the daily grind of temptation like Joseph is, You're not going to have character. You're not going to have hope. And you're not going to experience God's love being poured where? Into your heart. You're going to miss it. Friends, that's not something to miss. And so through his suffering and perseverance, character is being developed in Joseph to hope in God and no one else. You've got hope in God and no one else. And Joseph's time of suffering will continue for a few more years. We're going to read about that in 2 weeks. Two more years, okay? And as Joseph learned to go through suffering, listen, as Joseph learned to go through suffering to develop a hope in God, to experience the love of God, and to experience the love of God is to trust God, you get to say things like this when you're 50. Look in Genesis 50, 19 and 21. I'm going to read it to you. Okay, you can go there if you want. It's in your Bible. The storyline is Joseph's brothers now come back to Joseph after a great famine, because Joseph, and you know the storyline, some may not, but his brothers actually come back to Joseph, and they don't recognize Joseph, and then they figure out that Joseph has figured out who they are, and they know who he is, and Joseph reveals himself, because that's what's happening is they think that he could kill them now because of the way he was treated unkindly, the way he was treated unfairly. They think that their brother Joseph could kill him. This is actually after their dad's funeral. And this is what Joseph says. Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for all good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to speak to take care of you and your children. Listen to this. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. If you go clear back into Genesis 37, you're going to see that it said their brothers could not even speak kindly to Joseph. So here's what happened. And when Joseph got later in life, he became a bitter, sour person, right? No, he didn't. Because he did what we're learning to do today and how to get over unfair treatment. Anytime that you go through a trying time, it's always going to reveal the flaws of your heart. Listen. You've got to embrace your trying times. You've got to embrace your trying times because God is trying to change you. You've got to embrace your trying times because God is trying to change you to help the lives of others. And if you're unwilling to embrace the trying times, it means you're unwilling to help the lives of others, which means who's the main character? You. And it's not good. It's not good. And so, here it is, kids. Listen up. Trials are coming. It's not if, it's when. Let's look at this prayer together. Lord, this trial is hard, but I know you are revealing what needs to change in me to help the lives around me. Please help me embrace the trial to embrace the change. Save those prayers. Take him home with you. I don't know how big your trial is compared to another trial. It doesn't matter. But God's working on you. I ran across a picture this week, and I think you'll like it. I've heard this said before, and maybe you can relate to it, all right? They say people age like fine wine. Try more like milk. Looks and smells great at first, then we all turn into sour chumps. Clumps. I wonder, how many in the room wants to be sour and chunky when you get older? You want to be sour and chunky? Some say I kind of represent that remark. Now, you don't have to be sour, okay? And I just explained to you how not to be a sour, chunky person in your old age, okay? Because guess what's coming? Old age, all right? It's coming. And I'm also not suggesting you drink wine, and I'm not suggesting you drink soured milk. Don't hear me say that. What I am suggesting is if you're a God follower, God does not want you to be a sour, chunky person. Okay? How do we get past that? Amazing quote. Here it is. Look at this. At some point, you have to let what Jesus did on the cross for you be bigger than what someone did to you. You got to make that decision today. And then you're going to start moving in that direction toward letting God handle those things. So I asked Deb to play a song called Open My Eyes. That'll be the last song there, Tyler and Sharon's Open My Eyes, that hymnal. So if you can stand up with me, let's stand up and pray, and we'll sing this song. God, we love you. We give you praise for being kind. You let us repent. You let us turn from our sin. And God, it's funny to think about it, but we do not want to be sour, chunky people. We want to be people of forgiveness, who have been marked by forgiveness. And when we are treated unfairly, Lord, help us to reflect on Joseph and how he responded. Thank you, Lord. If anybody here today, Lord, wants to make a decision for you, why not today? It's the best day to do it today. We can fill the baptistry up, we can immerse you, and wash your sins away through Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord, and pray in your name. Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Everybody about the concert, June 23rd, in a park. I've told the story before, but Sarah's got quite a story with her brain tumor and her recovery from that. And anyway, one should be praying for good weather and a good turnout. And her and her dad will be giving a short message during the intermission time. And we got all kinds of posters down the basement, so just grab a couple and take them with you wherever you're going. I know a lot of you go to Walmart, put them in there someplace. I'll put them somewhere else. So anyway.
Yeah, grab a poster if you don't mind hanging out. Seriously, grab posters and put them up wherever you can. A good gospel message is going to be preached that day. We'd like to have a stock tank on hand, too, so people want to come to Christ and be immersed in Christ, forgiven of sin. That could be happening as well. So please, take this serious. And
June 23rd will be here before you know it.
It will be.
Hopefully we're not still planting beans.
Yeah. And so, anyway, I want to encourage you to stick around. We're going to pray up front here for the concert before we get here. So if you want to stick around and pray, please do. And so Tyler, just play something quiet in the background. So thanks for coming. Good to see you.
Can't